This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Glad you could be with us. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. And also Lee Ellis of The Athletic and the No Dunks podcast will join us. We'll talk NBA with him. We'll get an outlook on some of the teams as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. It is crunch time for a lot of teams, and it is also a time to really start figuring out who really has the kind of championship potential. Look, I know it's wide open, and it's sort of like there's a feeling like, you know, in the West, there's a lot of teams that you could put into that slot. So we'll go over that with Lee Ellis coming up. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about Albert Pujols. He was released by the Angels, or designated for assignment, basically meaning that he is done. Pujols, 667 career home runs. He has over 2,000 RBIs, 3,000 hits. He's going to the Hall of Fame, but his career, while winning a championship and World Series in St. Louis, he never took the Angels in the 10 years there. He never took them to that next level. He never took them to that next place that they were really hoping for. Mike Trout's not doing it either. Two of them haven't done that either. It's really kind of a problem, because we talk about Major League Baseball a lot. And we say, you know, Mike Trout is one of your budding stars. You really need to get him, or at least that team, on a national stage. They had two very big time players in Albert Pujols and Mike Trout, and yet never turned it into anything. And that's kind of too bad, because Pujols was that kind of player that could have done it. And he's had some injuries and whatnot, but 667 home runs. I don't know where he's going to land. There's talk about maybe teaming up with Tony La Russa with the White Sox. I know he continues to want to play. I kind of hope he does. 21 years in the majors is a long time, but he's not that far away from 700 home runs. I would love to see him get it at some point in his career. Look, there are a few milestones in sports, and nobody does numbers better than baseball. The 3,000 hits, 2,000 RBIs, 600 home runs, 500 home runs, 700 home runs. I'd love to see Pujols get that. I just don't know. It's been in the league a long time. He has not been hitting very well anyway. His career may be ending on this note, but you never know. Somebody might give him an opportunity to DH and still kick around this league. But a fantastic career.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, the dumb, the Friday edition. We send you into the weekend on a good note, maybe a bad note, dumb note, whatever. But the good note is the good of the day today, Ron Culver.
The good of the day, this is a feel-good story. And an eventual Disney movie, I believe.
Here we go, yeah, I love these.
I'm going to highlight a girl. Her name is Amy Bakkerstedt.
Okay.
You might remember her. There was a viral video a couple of years ago. She was at the Phoenix Open. She hit par. Phoenix Open on the par 6 or the 16th hole,
which she was at Justin Spieth.
No, Gary Woodward.
Oh, Gary. Okay, yeah. All right, I remember. Yeah.
Anyways, she has Down syndrome, and she is set to be the first Down syndrome athlete to compete for an NCAA tournament or a title.
Wow.
So she is with her. Paradise Valley Community College, which is in Arizona, and she's at the JUCO Championships next week.
Good for her. That's wonderful.
So her and her team have a chance to win.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's why I say it's got to be a Disney movie, right?
Eventually. Depends on how they finish. Well, they could just change the outcome and make her win.
Well, that's Disney's way.
Well, so it should be a Disney movie if there's an obstacle. Like, she has Down syndrome, but
there's
the
obstacle.
Well, there's that, but you also need something more tangible. Like something like she, you need what you need
that
is,
nobody gave her a fair shake.
You can't just have her overcoming Down syndrome. You have to have her like a college coaches going, she will never play golf at this school as long as I'm alive.
And then somebody else giving her the chance.
Right. Exactly. Like just coaches sitting in her parents' house going, she can never play golf ever, ever, ever. In fact, she can't do anything.
Right.
And then she overcomes that.
Yeah.
That would be good. This is great. This is great. You know, she was really impressive. When I now remember she was with Gary Woodland. You're right.
Yeah.
And she, like, people were cheering and there was a crowd, and that's
the thing. I've, you know, having experienced the par 16th hole at the Phoenix Open or West Management Open, whatever you want to call it. That's an intimidating atmosphere because literally have just people sitting in stands all day drinking the day away.
Well, you also have an amphitheater feeling. So you're in a stadium. So you don't have – there's like a depth perception angle to it. There's also – like you don't have – it's not a flowing view. Like you can have grandstands behind an 18th green, but there's still a course that flows around you.
Right.
You don't have that. You have – you walk in like a stadium and then you play within the stadium and then you leave. You go through a tunnel to get there and a tunnel to get out. So, yeah, so that's an intimidating spot. And she did really, really good.
She parred the hole.
She made par, and they were impressed, and good for her. That's a great story.
The roar was amazing. And I do all you guys listening out there, you got to experience that hole once.
Yeah, it is great.
You got to go there and check it out. It is insane.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, we're going to go to another high school. This is a high school championship. An Alabama high school softball team scored 45 runs in a playoff game.
Why are we doing this?
And lost.
What? Okay, that's why we're doing it. I thought you were going to tell me they just kept playing and playing and playing and playing.
No, they ended up losing this game. It's one of the most amazing scores I've ever seen. The final score of this game was 46-45. It was a game that I'm trying to find the team names again because my phone decided to crash on me real quick.
Well,
I love technology. Park Crossing and Sydney Lanier.
All right. While you're doing that, I have a natural question that comes whenever we see a score like this. Right?
Okay.
I'm
sure it'll make sense.
If you saw an NBA game and in regulation, not double overtime or triple overtime, just regulation, and the score was 185-180,
right?
What you would probably go, all right, either those two teams just had an off-the-chart offensive night where they shot 90% from the floor, or everybody just went, screw it, I ain't playing defense.
No.
In this game, are the offenses really good, or were the teams bad? Like, the defense bad, pitching bad, fielding bad?
I'm going to go, looking at some of the stat lines, I'm going to go pitching was bad.
Okay.
Here's the reason why. The team that scored 45 points did so on 5 hits.
Okay, that's terrible.
The team that scored 46 points did so on 15 hits. They did set a couple of records, state records. Most walks for two teams combined were there were 65 walks in the game.
This is nuts.
Most hit batters for two teams ever was the total was 29.
All righty.
So most RBIs for two teams, 68. Which would make sense when you have,
that's true.
90-plus runs scored.
Right.
This must have been a horrible game to just witness. I mean, if you're a parent in the stands and your child is out there, your daughter is out there, and the score ends up being 46-45, are you even celebrating with them?
No. I don't know what I would do if I – it just
– how many times would you go to the snack stand?
It feels like a game shouldn't have been counted or something. It doesn't seem real. Like, it –
I mean, 65 total walks in this game.
That's nuts. You'd think if you're the umpire, you'd be like, strike three. That was 4 feet off the strike three. Let's go home.
Yeah. One lady just has her last name or its initial B. Sirlis. She plays for Sydney Lanier. She was hit by a pitch 4 times.
Oh, that's awful.
These
two teams were in the playoffs?
Yes. I don't think they're going to make
it. Everybody gets in playoff.
Maybe. Because you can't imagine. I mean, maybe one team has an off day,
right?
But you can't imagine two teams going in and having an off day. This had to be. I don't even know what the word is for it.
I'd like to know what the coach is. I'm like, did you guys do any practicing this season, or did you just get to grab some girls and just show up to games and just tell them, here's a bat, swing it, here's a ball, throw it. Figure it out when you're out there. Here's a glove. It goes on the other hand. You throw with the other one. just to see what happens.
Well, it's the third highest scoring game in softball, in American softball high school history. The other ones usually are what you would expect from a total point game. Like there was one where 88 points were or 95 points were scored, and the score ended up being 88-6.
Good God.
Yeah. I mean, you would expect that 46-45 where 20 total hits are in the game. Yeah, no, thank you.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I know you're going to feel for this. I have no clue about this.
Okay.
All right. I'm on the outside looking in because it's something that I've only heard about. But New York City schools are doing away with snow days.
Because of the COVID.
Because they
now can do something.
You can do remote learning.
Right. That's actually not just New York. There's a lot of places now that are like, we're going to kick this in. It's okay.
Isn't there like a, I mean, again, I'm, you know, Southern California boy, we never had snow days. I did have an earthquake week once, but I know it's not the same. But isn't there like a romance to snow days?
There is, but when I was a little kid, right? I loved snow days because I didn't want to get my butt out of bed and go to school, right? That was basically it. Like, I had to get up at 6:30 in the morning, which might as well have been 3 a.m. to my body. I was like, I'm staying in bed. And we lived in New Hampshire, in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, and it would be freezing, and you'd just get warm under the covers, and you were just praying to the good Lord above that the mom or dad would come in and say, no school today, and you get to stay in that blanket. But the trade-off was, especially living in New Hampshire, when, you know, the summers aren't exactly long, right? And so you were going to be going to school later. They were making it up. It's not you get a day off and you don't get to go to 180 days of school. You were making that day up late in the season. So the ending date was flexible. So you always knew that you were going to pay the price when the summer came and it was nice and it was beautiful outside and you could run around and play, but you couldn't because you were stuck inside. That was always the payoff. But there was nothing better. Real quick, my first radio job was at the largest AM station in the state of New Hampshire. And I don't know how I luckily landed on it. It was a great station. It was a great station to learn. But it was a station that everybody would listen to in Southern New Hampshire to get school closures. Cause we did them like every 10 minutes and we would just have like the newswoman would just go, here's the schools that are closed today. Boom, 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 boom. You know, now you get text messages and robocalls and stuff like that. There's sort of that lost gather by the radio to see if you have school
and hope to hear your school name,
right? Hope to hear your school name on the radio. There was that feeling. So like, I remember I filled in for my boss doing sports updates, right?
Right.
I remember I had to fill in. So I was filling in. I remember every person I knew had heard me on doing sports updates in between school closures. I'm sure they were like, shut up. I don't care about the Celtics score. I want to know if my kids got a 2-hour delay or school.
Yeah, I guess it's similar because my grandfather was an assistant principal at the high school. And my mom would tell me that when she knew a snowstorm was coming, they always prayed to hear the phone ring.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he would be the first one of the first ones to be told. And once they heard that phone ring at like 6 a.m., they just said, oh, turn the alarm off. We're going back to bed.
Yeah, that's right. And Michael on Twitter, snow days meant grab your sled, hit the slopes. Yep, that's what we did.
So, I mean, okay, is it dumb then that they're getting rid of snow days? Or are you on the fence of like, hey, have remote learning because you can still have your snow day too. And then you get off early in the summertime.
No,
maybe you're changing my mind.
I still think that's awesome to have snow days though. I mean, it depends on where you live. If you're in New York City and it means staying inside, then stinks. I would go to Central Park and just have a great time. But if you live in the country, if you live in places where you could go sledding or
it doesn't snow.
Hanging out or
it doesn't snow that bad in New York City often, right?
Fort. Oh yeah.
I'm saying I know it snows there, but compared to like say where you grew up in New Hampshire.
Oh yeah, no. When we grew up, it was like it would last until June, last till May. It would like be snow on the ground. No, I think there's still if you're going to live in an area where you get snow, I think there's still a joy when the school is closed and because playing in the snow is great. It's not like we have a snow day and you're going to stay inside anyway. No, you're going to have a snow day and then you're going to go out and build a fort and you're going to probably have to shovel the driveway, but then you're going to have a snowball fight or you're going to go sledding or you're going to go do some stuff. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it is.
At the very least, you should have got credit for a PE.
Yeah, it's true. Because we would just go outside and sled all. We'd sled all day.
I remember. I think it was in seventh grade. I came close to having a snow day in Southern California. Believe it or not, my school just missed the mark because we were. They was like every school north of this one street was closed, but my school was just south of the street, and we were unfortunately we still had to go to school.
Well, I'm kind
and we didn't
on
have to
fence.
Make it up.
I think if I was a kid and it was snow outside and we got like a fresh 5, 6, 7, 8 inches, maybe a foot and a half, I would hate the idea of like, well, now I got to go sit by my computer all day. Like I would look outside and go, man, we could build a big old fort and I want to go sledding. I got to sit on this stupid computer and learn math or my letters or whatever it is I was going to be learning as a young kid. I think that would stink.
So
this is on the dumb.
This is right. Okay, good. I was leaning that way, but again, I don't know.
Like
I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, I never got to experience such things.
The pure joy.
I only got to see it on TV and in holiday Hallmark movies where it looked like it was just so much fun that everyone just got to stay home.
The news lady I worked with, her name was Maureen Egan, and she had this little catchphrase. She would say, "Kids go back to bed," when she would read your school. She would list the schools, and then she would say, "Kids go back to bed." And that was their thing.
So don't get rid of that, New York City.
No, don't. It's a joy. So.
PS143
right.
Or what, all those different numbers?
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up next, what is the deal with Juwan James with Denver that has everybody up in arms? That plus we'll have Lee Ellis from The Athletic talk some NBA as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows when it's time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so I don't know if you guys realize this, but Juwan James got hurt. Now, he is a Denver Bronco former Tennessee volunteer, but he got hurt working out on his own. And there was a memo that was released by the league to the Broncos and also saying basically that because he was working out on his own, that the Broncos didn't have to pay him, didn't have to pay his contract. He opted out in 2020. He has had some injuries, and now he has suffered an injury that's going to keep him out this season. So the union obviously went a little crazy on this and called it gutless because this was a serious injury to Juwan James. And the union is saying, look, this is becoming a scare tactic that the league is now using to players so that the teams can control what the players do when it comes to staying in shape in the offseason. Like, you only can work out with us and within our facility, and if you venture anywhere else to do any sort of workout on your own and you suffer an injury, we can just completely and utterly void your deal and not pay you whatsoever. Now, this is a big deal. This is a big deal because we're in an age of COVID, right, where players want to feel when they want to work out to stay in shape in the offseason, they want to feel safer. They don't necessarily want to go to the team facility. They want to work out on their own in whatever environment they see fit. Personal trainer at their house, whatever it may be. But now you've got James who suffered this injury, and it looks like the league is sort of using it to sort of rein in these workouts to say, oh, no, but it's better if you're just at our facility with our people. That way it's on our clock, right? Well, the season-ending Achilles injury to Juwan James may be a wake-up call for players to do this. He could lose up to $20 million on this. But I think the union has a point here. I think that this is a kind of a cheap way for the league to sort of say, here's an awful situation for this young man. Again, opted out in 2020, now won't play this season, right? A guy that fulfilled his goal of getting into the NFL, drafted in 2014, on this Broncos team, trying to continue along with his career, but now the league is using that as a perfect example to make sure you players stay in line when it comes to working out. But players need to work out all the time. Look, there used to be sort of this sort of romanticized idea of spring training in baseball, camp in the NBA, training camp in the NFL, that you would play all season. Then you'd kind of get a little chubby, you know, you kind of get a little out of shape. Maybe you do some stuff, but then you got it all out under control when you'd arrive in Florida when pitchers and catchers report, or training camp in July. But those days are over. And you got to stay in shape all the time. You almost have to come to camp ready to go. You almost have to come to camp or spring training in baseball ready to go. The days of just working off those extra pounds are kind of done. There's an expectation that you're not going to show up heavy, that you're not going to show up out of shape, that you're not going to use the offseason to indulge all of the vices of food that you've been wanting to do, that you sort of kept away from during the regular season. But you can't expect players to then to say, well, if I can only work out of the facility, what if I don't really trust the facility? This is a new era that we're living in. And it sort of says to the players, we don't care. We don't care if you don't really feel comfortable at our team's complex. Maybe you're, you know, still one of those guys that's got a little fear of COVID. Maybe you're one of those guys that fears the vaccine a little bit. Buffalo Bills general manager said he would cut players who didn't get the vaccine. He may cut players who don't get the vaccine. What a different world we're living in now. But I sort of see where the union's going with this. I do understand the teams a little bit here. I do understand that, you know, look, we want everything under kind of our umbrella. But you have to be reasonable here, right? You're expecting these guys to be in shape all the time? Well, let them do their thing. Let them do their thing and cover them when that happens. Yes, you don't want them jumping out of airplanes. I get that. You don't want them messing around with explosives and stuff like that. I get that. I get that we're putting it in the contract, making sure that these athletes that you're paying big money to aren't injured doing silly stuff, you know, doing wheelies on a scooter or whatever it may be. I get that, and I get players sometimes have gotten hurt doing those things and then claiming that they did it at a gym, right? I'll give you a perfect example in baseball. I remember Clint Barmas of the Rockies. He had a shoulder injury, big-time shoulder injury. And when asked about the injury, it was not in the game, it was not in a workout, none of that. He said he was visiting Todd Helton on his ranch in northern Colorado. And Helton is an avid hunter and gave him some deer meat. And he was carrying a big package of deer meat up the stairs to his condo. And he fell on the stairs and suffered a shoulder injury. And now it seemed reasonable. It seemed like it wasn't something that a reporter would do a little investigative work on. It seemed like, all right, yeah, he tripped on the stairs carrying some deer meat. All right. But it started to leak out that Barmas was riding ATVs on the ranch and like having a real, like racing them and kind of, and he fell off one of those at the ranch. So believe me, if you're an organization and you say, hey, stay away from these activities. And then a guy comes in and he goes, yeah, man, I tore my ACL. How'd you do that? Working out at the gym, getting ready for the season. Seems like an answer you would expect rather than, yeah, I went skydiving, and even though the parachute landed, I kind of took a hard fall. But it was awesome. It was my third jump of the day. Like, you wouldn't want to hear that if you're a GM, but a guy going, no, I was working out my whatever at the local gym because I wanted to be good to go come July for camp. But you know what? It's the other thing, too, is these off-season programs are voluntary, but the NFL would love it to not be voluntary. So this is another way to be like, well, I know it's voluntary, but it would just be in everybody's interest if it was just here, just saying, in case you want your check. Because God forbid you get hurt doing something, and then we don't want to pay you anymore. I get the union going, hey, chill, relax, let these guys do their thing. Not everybody is running around doing nefarious stuff outside their contract. Some guys are legitimately going to the gym, are legitimately working out, are legitimately trying to get back into playing shape well before the season starts. Which, by the way, in case anybody's noticed the calendar, we're almost at mid-May, and, you know, July's kind of right around the corner when camps start opening up again. Hey, just bringing it up. All right, Lee Ellis in the NBA. How good are the Knicks, and where are we at next?
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, don't look now, but the NBA regular season is quickly coming to an end, and we'll be heading into the postseason soon. Let's go out to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. One of our favorite guests, Lee Ellis of The Athletic, also No Dunks Podcast, to talk some NBA. How are you, Lee?
Good, thanks, Tony. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. All right, let's get to it. This play-in game thing, this tournament that we saw in the bubble, we're already starting to see some people speaking out on this. Does it have more legs than just this year? Are people just waking up to maybe thinking this wasn't a good idea, or is it a good idea?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think it's one of those situations where people always say, oh, we need some change, we need to mix things up a little bit. Okay, we're going to mix it up. And then when it doesn't suit somebody, they're like, no, I don't like this, I want it the old way, the other way that we're used to. But I think this is a fantastic initiative by Adam Silver and the NBA because, let's be honest, you know, when we get to playoff time, usually we sort of dismiss pretty much the teams 6, 7, and 8, for the most part in the playoffs. I mean, there's the obviously the We Believe Warriors that pulled the huge upset back in 2007, and then the Memphis Grizzlies actually pulled off an upset when they dropped to 8th spot and got the San Antonio Spurs about 2012, I think it was.
Yeah.
But those things are the anomalies. You know, they don't happen very often. But now we're talking with legit interest about what might happen. And we actually get, in theory, we get a bit of a playing game tonight because it's the Lakers and the Blazers. This is for the series. This is for the number 6 spot for today. Now, there's still, you know, half a dozen or so games left for these teams throughout the season. So this doesn't decide it finally for the season. But this is the sort of excitement that Adam Silver was hoping to create because we know he's a big fan of European soccer. And what happens in the European soccer is towards the end of the season, throughout the season, teams get relegated, and there's a battle between those teams at the bottom who are trying to avoid relegation. So I think this is great because the fact that LeBron James said, you know, this sucks and I want whoever came up with it fired is actually good for the league because it brings more attention to what they're trying to do. Now, is it perfect? Maybe, maybe not. We don't really know. But I just think that it's a great way to at least try something new to see if it resonates with fans because I think it is a good thing. You've got a team like the Memphis Grizzlies, currently 9th. Now, they're currently in the play-in tournament and most likely will finish in the play-in tournament, exactly where we don't know. But you've got one of the most exciting players, Ja Morant, potentially in a situation where we get to see what he's like in a playoff atmosphere. So I think it's only positive. And of course, you know, Mark Cuban was another. Other didn't like it, but that was when it looked like the Mavs might be in the playing tournament as well. So I think this is great for the league. It creates another little bit of excitement. And really, there's only, I mean, I guess you could say the Thunder, the Wolves, and the Rockets who've got completely no chance of making it. The Kings have got, the tiniest hope there. And the Pelicans could also squeeze in. They've actually closed their gap between them and the Spurs down to a game and a half. So I think this is exactly what the league wants. You know, more sort of talking about not just who's at the top of the standings, but who could get in. And then when those teams get into the playoffs, can they go any farther? You know, can they cause an upset? So I think it's a positive for the league.
I can also see a team going like Miami going, look, hey, we're playing hard. We've played hard all season. If the playoffs were to start today, we've earned that 7 seed. And now my playoff hopes could be manipulated by a team like Washington that's 10th, that's playing really good basketball right now, and Russell Westbrook is back on doing triple doubles. I can see them going, yeah, I don't want to be messing with a hot team at the right time.
Yeah, but if you are the Wizards, aren't you like oh well, this is exactly what we want. We got
sure,
off to a
exactly.
terrible start.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, Westbrook. It's funny how Westbrook in Houston last year got off to a bad start. It looked like he was washed up. And then he sort of just figured it out after the first 6 weeks or so. Same thing happened in Washington. They were 17-32 at one point. Right now, they're 31-36. Westbrook's gone on this triple-double stretch. And this is what it's all about. I mean, the play-in tournament is not necessarily about where you finish. It's about how well you're playing at the time. So I think it just creates that extra excitement because the one thing, you know, going back to the We Believe Warriors, for example, I think they won like 8 of their last 9 games just to make the playoffs.
Sure.
And that's when they upset the Mavericks. So they were playing the right basketball. And, I mean, no one feels sorry for the Mavericks either. Everyone's like, wow, that's a great story. That's what we want. So, you know, and imagine we get Russell Westbrook in the first round versus Kevin Durant and James Harden of the Brooklyn Nets, who themselves are actually dropped four in a row here. They've sort of hit a bit of a rough patch, and potentially they're not even 100% healthy. I mean, I think in that situation, I think everyone's pulling outside of Brooklyn. Everyone's pulling for the Wizards, because that's the kind of thing we want to see in the NBA playoffs. So, I think in a team like the Miami Heat, you know, they've been up and down all season long, but they're a very tough, resilient, defensive, playoff-structured team. So you know they're going to be tough. Seem like the Hornets haven't been there. They've had a great season. So can they translate what's happened from the regular season into the playoffs? And that's what it does excite me about this, is that you look around the league right now, and in previous years, you know, let's take last year out just because of how crazy it was. The Warriors were like, well, how is anyone going to beat the Warriors? You know, and now eventually they did lose to the Raptors, but it was like, it's the Warriors championship to lose. I don't look at the league right now and think that anyone has that sort of a stranglehold on the league right now. I think there's probably legitimately four, five, maybe even to make a case of six teams that could actually come away and win the championship. And that's something that we haven't really seen, you know, legitimately in the NBA for a long time.
Let's get to Brooklyn. James Harden is obviously out, but they still have Durant and Irving, and yet it doesn't feel enough. I mean, what am I missing? Why can't just these two superstars keep it rolling for Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, because I think Kevin Durant is the biggest sort of pendulum swing there for the Nets. I think with him on the roster, I really think it's tough for any team to beat in the Eastern Conference to beat him four times.
Right.
But the way they've been playing these last four games, I'm starting to maybe question that a little bit, because there was those two games against the Milwaukee Bucks last, I think it was a Sunday and then Tuesday night in Milwaukee. And that was a really big test there for the Bucks. And they came through with shining colors. They really did. And then last night, the Nets go to Dallas, another game they really need to win, and can't quite get it done there. And the Mavericks, who, you know, they're also fighting to sort of avoid that playing tournament. So that was a big win for them. The one thing I will say about Brooklyn is, at times this season, they don't even care about defense, because when you've got that much offensive firepower, you know you can just go down there and you've got one or two or three guys who can get a bucket any time they want. So defense is one of those things that they play when they feel like it. But against the Milwaukee Bucks, this is why I bring that up, is the Bucks were like, well, we've got Giannis who can go inside and score. And the Nets really didn't have a defensive stopper. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's not that guy. He's a rim protector, but physically Giannis had no problems with him. Kevin Durant's a good defender, but again, Giannis can actually sort of use his size and athleticism to get inside. And then you've got Blake Griffin, who they picked up off the waivers. You know, he's no longer the Blake Griffin he was there in LA. He's still a physical guy, but just not athletically enough to stop Giannis. So there is a little hope there against the Nets, and that is you just have to keep on scoring. I mean, it sounds a little bit dumb, because obviously you have to score against every team, but the point being, you've got to make them work hard on defense, because that's just not where they've been their strongest this season. They just come down and say, well, Kyrie can get us a bucket. He can go for 40. Kevin Durant can do that. James Harden, when he was playing at an MVP level. So offensively, they have all this firepower, but their weakness is just defensively. So you've got to keep the pressure up. And, you know, that's largely what the Mavericks did last night. I mean, Doncic didn't have a huge game by his standards. Didn't shoot the ball all that well. But they got contributions from Hardaway Jr. They got contributions from Dorian Finney-Smith. And even Jalen Brunson off the bench was good for them. And that's the key. Is like, everyone's just got to go out there and keep that scoreboard ticking. But if Harden comes back and he says he will be ready for the playoffs, now he might take a game or two, obviously, to sort of find his wind again there. But at full strength, the Nets just have, you know, provide so many offensive weapons that it is going to be tough to see a team, as I say, beat them four times. But they may not be healthy. So there is a chance there for the other teams, but you've just got to be locked in for the entire game.
I remember time in the Western Conference, maybe a little before Golden State, where you could look at the standings going into the playoffs and you could go, man, this is like five, six teams that could really win that conference. But do you look at the conference now? Is it really Utah, Phoenix, Clippers? I mean, with LeBron comes back, how are the Lakers in this mix? How is a team like Denver without Jamal Murray in this mix in terms of how you see the West shaping up?
Yeah, Denver's a really interesting one, because when Jamal Murray went down, I kind of thought that's pretty much it for their season, because he was so good in the playoffs for them last season. But they've responded really well. And in fact, they've won eight of their last 10.
Right.
Jokic, I would say from here, is pretty much locked up the MVP for the season as well. I mean, you know, I don't think he will get it unanimously, but I think he's probably going to win it fairly comfortably. But then you've got teams like, let's go through them, the Jazz. I mean, they've been incredible this season, but we all remember what happened last season in Orlando in the bubble there. The Phoenix Suns, it's very, very rare for a team to go from not making the playoffs for 11 seasons to all of a sudden being a legit championship contender. But what Chris Paul has been able to do with that team, and Devin Booker's been great, and DeAndre Ayton's improved as well, and Mikal Bridges has been good for them. So they've got all those players playing well, but it's that playoff experience outside of Chris Paul, which they simply don't have. And you just sort of figure at some point the Suns are just going to be like, you know, I think they get out of the first round, but then it's just going to be a little bit tougher for them, especially if they play a team like the Clippers who have, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, although they also have something to prove after what happened to them in the playoffs last year. I mean, they fell apart and they turned on each other a little bit. So yep. The key, I think, to beating the Clippers is get out in front of them, because that's when I think they can crumble. But, you know, and again, the Lakers, if LeBron comes back and if Anthony Davis is healthy, then I think the Lakers may be out from the Western Conference simply because LeBron has earned that reputation through everything he's done over his years. I mean, we've seen him take bad teams to the finals there when he was with Cleveland back in 2007. And even in 2015, when Kyrie Irving got injured and Kevin Love got injured, you know, and he still won two games off the Warriors then. So we know what LeBron can do. It's just whether or not this season those injuries are perhaps, you know, he's got a lot of minutes in his legs. He's a little bit older. Do those injuries catch up with him a little bit? So, you know, a lot of intrigue there. All of those teams that I mentioned deserve to be given real consideration for the championship, but all have something to prove as well. And that's what I think makes it fascinating this season, because there's so many intertwining storylines. I mean, if you get the Jazz and the Clippers in the second round, let's just say hypothetically, you're looking at a situation where one of those teams is going to be bitterly disappointed that the season didn't go further than the second round.
Lee, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for getting us caught up. We'll catch up with you soon as we get closer to the playoffs. Thanks, my man.
Anytime, Tony.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic, and hosts No Dunks podcast about NBA on the association as we get winding down. Like I said, about a dozen games remaining before we head into the postseason. Hey, once a reminder, if you got a tough job that you need cleaning up, Tub of Towels will get that job done for you. It literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface, cleans just about anything. You've been hearing me mention Tub of Towels, outdoor furniture, auto interiors, interiors, appliances, walls, floors, tiles, fabric, carpet. It'll get rid of permanent marker, paint stains, grease, oil, tar, silicones, ink, glue, food stains, drink stains, big messes, even bird messes on your car. The vapor lock lid snaps shut, keeps a tight seal, keeping the wipes moist, ready to tackle your tough job. It's also easy on the hands, contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. So again, tough on messes, but easy on the hands. Tub of Towels available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, and Pep Boys Tub of Towels. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the Western Conference, because I did want to mention something he's talked about with the Nuggets next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, home loan options for your family, Rocket can. You know, I think Lee Ellis touched on something, and thanks to him for joining us. I think he touched on something. Look, when you look at the standings in the West, right? I do think playoff experience matters. I do. Now, don't get me wrong. Can Phoenix, who didn't make the playoffs last year, win the Western Conference? They're certainly talented enough to do that. Absolutely.
And Chris Paul is playing on a different level.
He's playing fantastic. He really is playing fantastic. Devin Booker, he's right. DeAndre Ayton, all of that. They're a great basketball team. They're going to be a tough out. They just went on a road trip. They lost one game on the road trip to Atlanta on an off night. They're fantastic. They play the Knicks tonight. But I do think that when you have teams like Denver, because remember what Denver did in the bubble last year, right? They were down 3-1 in two series to the Jazz and the Clippers and beat them both. Came back in those series and won that series out and lost to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I do think there is playoff seasoning that I would not discount with the Denver Nuggets. Series are just a different beast. Guys take nights off all the time. Whenever you see a good team lose 125 to 90, they gave up early and wanted to get the hell out of town and get back home.
And then let the scrubs play.
That's right.
Like, happens, you go out there, I'm done.
Happens all the time. Popovich used to do it constantly. So much so, David Stern used to yell at him for it. That's what they would do. They'd be on like some massive road trip. The rodeo trip is a perfect example. And they'd go on like a month-long trip. That'd be nice to be like, win, 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 blowout loss to some bottom feeder Eastern Conference team. Then you look at the box score and you're like, oh yeah, Duncan didn't play, Tony Parker didn't play, yep. Manu Ginobili played 5 minutes.
How many times do we get upset with the superstar not playing in that city?
That's right.
These guys paid good, hard-earned money for the tickets just to see you play. They're not there to see their home team. They're there to see you, and you're taking the night off.
Exactly.
They do it all the time.
So when you get into a series, like, you may look at Denver, and you know, right now they've won 8 of 10, and they're fourth, but they're a team that will when they get into a series, they are playing good enough basketball to be a threat to anybody, including
the Utah
Kings. They know how to win, and they know how to win with their backs to the wall, and they make adjustments, and Mike Malone has been fantastic on that in terms of adjustments. He did it when how they guarded Donovan Mitchell in that playoff series against Utah last year. So don't discount. I like what he said there, because I'm on the Phoenix bandwagon, but I'd be really shocked, even at a two seed, if they were to pull off and win the Western Conference, especially when LeBron's back in the picture as well. But don't discount playoff experience. And it also may be something that affects the Knicks as well, because they don't have any. All right. Boston the Gloss coming up next at Sports Map Radio. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.